Not far away, someone else was watching Finley Campbell. The Esper Julian Skye had been Finley's friend and disciple ever since the Campbell rescued him from the torture cells of the Imperial interrogators. Julian still carried the scars on his body and in his mind from the awful things that he had suffered, but he owed his life to Finley and had dedicated that life to the Campbell's service. The Campbell didn't get a say in the matter. Julian had followed Finley through many adventures in the Rebellion, but now the war was over, Julian found himself at a loose end. No longer the daring adventurer of the Esper Underground, he felt lost without an enemy to battle. And now that his mentor Finley had found a new life in politics, he didn't need a warrior at his side anymore. Julian understood nothing of politics, and cared even less. He was currently occupied with portraying himself in docudramas about his times during the Rebellion. He'd never seen himself as an actor, but apparently people had really liked watching him in the news footage Toby and Flynn had shot, and nowadays that was enough to make you a star, if not an actor. He'd never be a major attraction, but he had an audience and a faithful following, and he made more than enough money to indulge his few vices. It helped that the memories he dictated to the screenwriters had been almost entirely fictional. The public wanted the legend, not the facts, and there was still so much he couldn't bring himself to talk about, including the woman who was standing not so far away from him, that petite, dark-haired, oriental beauty, Bibi Chojiro. He'd loved her once, loved her with all his heart, dedicated his life to her, lived for her every word and glance. And she betrayed him to the Imperial torturers. He was a rebel, and the BB in her name stood for Blue Block, the secret inner circle of young aristos conditioned to be loyal to the families to the death and beyond, and she had turned him in. There in the torture cells, she had said she still loved him, but she had to follow her conditioning. But now Blue Block was running the families for their own good, and BB Chojiro was the pleasant public face of that inner circle. She had come to Parliament, as usual, to stand quietly at the back to listen to all that was said. She rarely had anything to say for herself, but everyone knew that when she spoke as the voice of Blue Block, and everyone listened, if they knew what was good for them. This was the first time Julian had come to the chamber. It was the first time he dared to come to Parliament, to be so close to Bibi Chojiro. Part of him still desperately wanted to kill her for what she'd done to him, for what had been done to him because of her, for the betrayal of everything he thought they had between them. Part of him needed to see her lying crumpled at his feet, the blood pouring out of her as she died slowly and horribly. And part of him wondered if even now he'd forget all that, forgive her everything, if she would just take him in her arms and kiss him and love him once again. Frightened, he stayed away. But now here he was, not 10 feet away from her, and damned if he knew why. Perhaps it was just unfinished business, as simple as that. Whatever, he had come to Parliament to see her and perhaps talk to her. And if he didn't kill her, he might just learn how to be free of her, if that was what he really wanted. Julian had to smile. He was so messed up in the head where Bibi Chojiro was concerned that it was either laugh or go mad. He tried to have her killed several times. He couldn't attack her openly. The deal Jack Random had made now protected all aristocrats from the old customs of personal revenge and vendetta. But he'd worked through intermediaries to acquire the services of the best assassins money could buy. Alone and in groups, they infiltrated Tower Chojiro, passing by the many layers of security with professional ease. None of them ever came out again. Nothing was ever said. Julian still had to pay the bills. Bibi Chojiro stood at ease among her advisors, smiling and listening and saying little, a tiny doll of a woman in a bright scarlet kimono, the exact shade of her lips. She had dark, straight, shoulder-length hair, huge, dark, lustrous eyes. She was the most beautiful woman Julian had ever seen. He ached to hold her in his arms again. It was a physical need, like a hunger or an addiction. To feel her lips on his, her warm breath in his mouth. And then maybe he'd kill her, or maybe he wouldn't. He hadn't decided yet. Standing beside Bibi Chojiro, unnoticed by the obsessed Julian, stood Stephanie Wolfe, sister to Valentine, stepdaughter to Constance. Tall, blonde, boyishly slim, she brimmed over with barely suppressed resentment. Her position, both in and out of society and Parliament, was precarious, to say the least. When her late father Jacob had been the Wolf, the clan had been one of the most powerful families in the Empire. Then Jacob died, and Valentine took over, and it all went to hell. Now Valentine was on the run, Jacob's dead body had been transformed into a ghost warrior by the rogue AIs of Shub, and Stephanie's beloved brother Daniel had gone off in search of it. Which meant that only Constance and Stephanie remained to represent Clan Wolf in the highest circles.
I should be the Wolf.
This was not the first time Stephanie expressed this sentiment.
Of course you should.
Bibi Chojiro flashed her a smile that meant nothing. Nothing at all.
And you will be. Blue Block has promised you this. You talk and talk, but nothing changes.
Constance cannot be the Wolf. She has no right. I am Jacob's blood. She just married him.
Have I mentioned recently how obsessed you are on this subject, Stephanie? Just one of the reasons why so many of your peers prefer Constance as the Wolf. They see her as more approachable. We meet as little as I can arrange, but still, I know your refrain so well I could practically say it along with you. Please, let us change the subject before my ears begin to bleed. Any sign of Daniel yet?
No.
Stephanie's scowl deepened, as honest concern changed her mouth from its sullen pout to a flat, compressed line. Daniel was the only person apart from herself she still gave a damn about.
He was last seen heading into the Forbidden Sector. No one seems to know how he got past the quarantine ships. The only thing he faces now is Shub. Poor damned fool.
Let us wish him the comfort of a quick death.
No, he's no threat to Shub. They'll see that and send him home again. What could they hope to gain by hurting someone as harmless as him?
Let us hope for a miracle. Hope costs nothing.
Whatever happens, Daniel will survive. He's a Wolf, after all. But if the clan is to continue, I must lead it. Constance cares nothing for the family. Our legacy does not breathe in her. As you suggested, I have been moving, unseen, through the lower orders of the clan, gathering support. Many are unhappy with an outsider, not of the blood, as the Wolf. They would support me if I found it necessary, for the good of the clan, to take certain steps.
Bibi turned to Stephanie for the first time, and fixed her in place with her dark, unwavering gaze.
I have said before, you are not to kill Constance or have her killed in any way that might be traced back to you. The deal we made with Random prohibits such measures.
We may have no choice. You saw Constance talking to Owen. You know as well as I what they were discussing. A marriage between her and the Deathstalker could put the whole House of Wolf under their joint control. Clan Deathstalker might even consume Clan Wolf, and then our name would vanish from history. That cannot be allowed. We must strike at Constance while we still can. With Owen guarding her, we'd never be able to touch her.
As always, you think too small, Stephanie. With Constance and Owen married, it shouldn't be too difficult to control Owen through threats to Constance. He might not love her, but as his wife, he would be obliged to protect her, or suffer much loss of face before society. It wouldn't take much to make the threats convincing. Constance is quite unable to protect herself, and even a great warrior like the Deathstalker can't be everywhere at once. Owen is practical enough to understand the realities of the situation. He will cede control of Clan Wolf to you, and then we will control both the Wolf and the Deathstalker clans.
Wait a minute. What do you mean, control Clan Deathstalker? There is only Owen. He's the last of his line, the last Deathstalker. He saw to that when he killed his ancestor.
You really must learn to think of the future, Stephanie. If he marries, eventually there will be children. In Blue Block, we always think in the long term.
I hate it when you lecture me. I'm not a child. I'm not stupid. I just don't care about anything but rebuilding my family. Everything else has to wait. But then you wouldn't understand that, would you? You had all the pride in your family brainwashed out of you once you were given to Blue Block. Hell, they even took your name away from you.
I lost little and gained much. Blue Block is the sum of all the families. Through it, we shall all attain greatness. I gave up my old name willingly, It did not describe me anymore. Bibi is who and what I am, who and what I have made of myself through Blue Block, and I take pride in my achievement.
Yeah, well, that's because you're a mind-wiped zombie who wouldn't know an original thought if you fell over it. God, Blue Block did a job on you. What the hell did our families think they were doing when they created Blue Block? You were supposed to be our ultimate weapon, to give us control over the throne. And now we all bow down to you. We made our own collars and fastened them round our necks without even realizing.
Quite. Now, please be quiet, or I'll tug on your leash. An old friend is approaching. Perhaps he has good news for us.
Cardinal Brendan had once been a Jesuit commando in the service of the Church of Christ the Warrior. He killed the heretics and the ungodly, or any who dared threaten the Church's strength or position. The Church of Christ the Warrior had been the official religion of the Empire, and closely associated with the Empress Lionstone. So when the throne was finally toppled, the Church fell with it. The rebellion gave the people a sense of their own strength, and they used it to rid themselves of a church that had been oppressing them for centuries. From the ashes of the fallen church arose the smaller but much more respected Church of Christ the Redeemer, a nonviolent, charity-oriented church led by Mother Superior Beatrice Christiana, saint of Technos III. Her first official action had been a purging of the old church's most offensive sinners and its most disreputable elements, but she missed Brendan. He was Blue Block, and they looked after their own. He was now Cardinal Brendan, the new church's representative on Golgotha, and Blue Block's main agent in the church. He wasn't particularly memorable in person, tall, dark, with a sardonic smile, and an eyebrow always on the point of being raised. He dressed simply but well, and since he made a point of talking to everybody with equal attention and favor, no one minded that he occasionally talked quite openly with the notorious Bibi Chojiro. He bowed low to Bibi, and again, not quite so low, to Stephanie Wolfe.
Well met, gentle ladies. To what do I owe the pleasure of this summons? Parliament usually manages to get along just fine without my august presence.
Bibi calmly waved for her advisers to move away a little. They bowed and did so without protest, stopping just out of earshot. They knew there were always plots within plots, to which even they were not always privy. Bibi smiled at Cardinal Brendan.
You are here because Owen and his friends are all here. The maze survivors. If Blue Block is to survive and prosper, they must be brought into the fold or eliminated. Their unusual abilities and unorthodox opinions make them random elements, loose cannon. And if we do not control them, they will inevitably control us. That is the nature of all power. So, since we value your opinion, you are here to study and evaluate these four people as possible future friends or enemies. Who can be turned or pressured, persuaded or bribed?
And if they really are what they're supposed to be and aren't interested in any of those things?
Then we require your most informed advice on how best to dispose of them.
You don't want much, do you? Lionstone, with all her people and her resources, couldn't handle these four, but you think we can?
All things are possible, given enough time and planning. They still think in terms of open warfare and the clash of armies, the gun and the sword and the simple joys of slaughter. They are as yet inexperienced in the more subtle forms of conflict. And they are, after all, so much more, how shall I say, reachable now than they were before. They won the war against the families. You lost, remember? We lost a battle. The war continues in other ways.
Still, better watch your ass, Cardinal. Side too openly with Blue Block, or raise the ire of one of our great rebel heroes, and Saint B will throw you right out of the church, just like all the others.
Nothing will happen to our most loyal Cardinal. Dear Brendan has the support of many Blue Block alumni within the new church. Reports will be misfiled, paperwork lost, rumors misdirected. Mother Beatrice hears what we wish her to hear.
You wouldn't be the first person to underestimate Saint B, and most of those who did are dead, or wish they were.
She isn't immortal. If she were to die suddenly, unexpectedly, the new church would be thrown into utter chaos. Just the kind of situation Blue Block has always best profited from. And the remnant of the old order, the Brotherhood of Steel, is still out there, though officially suppressed, just waiting for a chance to take control of the church again. They meet in private, worship in the old ways, and have secret friends and supporters in high and low places. Like us, they gain power and influence through carefully planned assassinations, or the threat of them. You'd be surprised how many of today's movers and shakers secretly bow down to the Brotherhood.
Blue Block controls the Brotherhood of Steel. Most of the people Mother Beatrice purged from her precious new church were our people, and always have been. Saint B may have won the populace's heart for the moment, but they're a fickle breed. They can always change their minds, or have them changed.
And then Blue Block will run the church, as well as Parliament.
You don't own Parliament yet. In fact, they show distressing signs of developing a will of their own. It's only a matter of time. Now, why don't the two of you find something not too incriminating to talk about while I take care of some personal business?
She left them standing together, trading suspicious looks, and made her way gracefully through the crowd to stand before the Esper Julian Skye. He saw her coming and made as though to walk away, but in the end he stood his ground and waited for her. She stopped just out of arm's reach and smiled up at him. Julian nodded curtly, his face impassive.
Hello, Julian. It's been a long time since I last saw you. You're looking good.
This last was a polite lie, and both of them knew it. Julian had never really recovered from the terrible injuries he suffered in the interrogation cells, and it showed in his undernourished frame and deep-set, haunted eyes. The late Giles Deathstalker had worked something of a miracle cure in him on the nightmare world of Akeldama, but like most miracles, it turned out in the end to be not much more than skin deep. It didn't last. Julian Skye hung on to what remained of his health through grim determination. And it showed.
Hello, Bibi. You look beautiful, as always. Betrayed anyone interesting recently?
You never did understand me, Julian. I had no choice. The moment you told me you were a rebel, my feelings for you were swept aside, and my conditioning took over. I couldn't even warn you they were coming. I cried and cried afterwards.
Yes, I saw you, when you came to me in the interrogation cells, to talk me into betraying my friends and my colleagues. You said I was scum, the lowest of the low. And then you walked away and left me to the torturers. All the time I was screaming, I thought of you.
I had to say what I did. Others were listening.
What do you want, Bibi? I loved you. I trusted you. Only to find I meant nothing to you. Nothing at all.
I wanted to see if we could still talk to each other. I have missed you so much, Julian. Blue Block is my life and my purpose, but nothing ever touched my heart like you. With you, I could dream of being free. Free from Blue Block, from its mastery. Only, it turned out to be stronger than I was. A part of me died the day they took you away. And I want it back. I want things to be the way they used to be again.
You must think I'm mad. I know about Blue Block now. I know about you. You'd do anything, say anything to serve your precious higher cause. You mean nothing to me anymore, Bibi. I cut you out of my heart 1 inch at a time. It hurt like hell, but I felt so much better once you were gone.
Don't. Please don't.
She reached out to him with both hands, but he shrank back rather than touch her. She dropped her hands, and her eyes filled with unshed tears.
Oh, Julian, what have I done to you? My feelings for you were genuine then, though I couldn't give in to them. Now things have changed. I've changed. Because of my position, Blue Block has given me more and more freedom and room for personal initiative. I used that freedom to break myself some way free from their conditioning. At last, I'm free to follow where my heart leads. People can change. You must believe that. We could be together again, Julian, like we used to be, only better. There are no secrets between us anymore.
There will always be secrets, as long as you still represent Blue Block. Go away, Bibi. Whatever game you're playing, I don't want any part of it. What we had, what I thought we had, was never more than a dream. And I've woken up now. It took me a long time to get over you, BB. I won't put myself through that again. Just go. Please.
I'll go. I'll walk away and never see you again. Just as soon as you tell me you don't love me anymore.
BB.
Just tell me that, and I'll go. Even though I love you, I'd rather die than see you hurt again. Just say you don't love me.
I don't love you.
Liar.
Oh, God. Of course I love you, BB. I'll always love you.
She reached up and placed her fingertips on his mouth.
You don't have to say any more, my darling. I know how difficult that must have been for you. But trust me, things will be different this time. I'm free now of many of my old constraints. Still, I think we've said enough for now. We have time. All the time we need. Goodbye, my love. For now.
She turned and walked away, back to Brendan and Stephanie and her advisors. Julian watched her go, not knowing what to say or think. She'd given every indication of being honest and genuine, but none of that mattered because she was Blue Block. She'd seemed to be reaching out to him, but Julian had no way of knowing why. All he knew for sure was that his heart was beating again the way it used to, when he still knew what happiness was, when his love had been something more than just a road to damnation. Julian Skye cursed himself for a fool, for still believing in happy endings.